Today, well, for all of us, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. A while back, we lived in Dover, and my wife talked to me about putting a doggy door in for our then two dogs. Sadly, I resisted her for as long as I could. She kept mentioning, it would be so nice if you could just put a doggy door in, a little bit of fencing. They would have a place to do their business. Life would be a whole lot easier. And like I say, I resisted as long as I could and finally went over to Lowe's and bought the necessary fencing. It took a couple of days post-hole digging. I remember how happy I was when I bought that new post-hole digger. Thought, wow, this is going to be so great. You ever use one of those? They are not great. You know, I started out with this vision. My post holes are going to be 3 feet deep. That's what it... I at least got a foot and a half anyway down there. But it took about a day or so to get this thing, get the fencing up and such. And finally, I pulled the back door off. It was metal with a styrofoam core. And I started cutting. This is serious now. We've got a hole in our door. And I thought, well, I'll put the door up and I'll get the dogs used to going in and out of the hole before I put the flap on, because that's going to be another step. I couldn't get those dogs to go through that hole for anything. Put treats out there, urged them, scolded them. They're not going through this hole. But I got a hole in my door. So I figured, well, I best assemble the thing. Then at least there'll be something in its place. And I put the back on, and I was going to bolt the front onto it. Well, while I'm working on the door, I can't keep the dogs from going in and out. If they're out, they want in. If they're in, they want out. I put the back on, and then I was ready to... I reached for the front to put in on, and my Cocker Blue jumps through the thing, is walking around the deck wearing the frame like a tutu. Boy, it was something. But many were the nights when I would be watching television and I hear those dogs go out the doggy door, and I would think, God bless my wife. That was a brilliant idea she had to go ahead and do this thing. When we work on things, we invest the money, we invest the time, we do the labor, hoping they're going to improve our life. Rarely do they work out so well, but like in the case of the doggy door, I was always so thankful we went ahead and did it. You've had those times, haven't you? You've decided to do something. There was discussion going on just how you were going to do it. It probably cost more than you thought it was going to. It took longer, was harder, and all that kind of stuff. Hopefully, it came out well. Well, this morning, I want to talk to you not about home improvements, but about character improvements. Could you be better? Is there a better version of yourself that you could come to? Could you be less irritable? Could you be more patient? Could you be more loving? Ray made a comment in our prayer room this morning that I thought was really good. He said, you know, there's a lot of people who are trying to put on Christ. They're trying to put on character changes rather than allowing Christ within them to be the change. I didn't say it as well as Ray did, but I don't want this to be a self-improvement message today, like you can do this. But allow Christ within you to do it. When you hear these things, say, Lord, I want that too. The Bible says you do this for believers. I'm a believer. Would you help me be more patient? Would you help me be more kind? Would you help me be more loving? Not have such an edge, not get upset about these things. And God will help you. I am here to testify. God will help you to become that person. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Father, we're bringing your word to you today, and we're asking you for your help. Because we happen to live in a world that is pretty filthy, that is pretty sensual. And we're asked to keep our eyes forward and our hearts pure and all of this. And we're being asked to be an imitator of God, no less. Would you help us today to get a step closer to that? And we'll thank you for your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Paul sets the standard for us. Be imitators of God. Yoy, that's a pretty high bar, don't you think? Don't you wish he would have given us maybe some steps in between there? Be a tater, be an imitator of God. Your standard isn't necessarily, well, this is the way I was raised. It's not how your daddy acted. It's not your natural personality. But look to God. How could you be more godlike? Our standard is God. Now, we're never going to reach perfection, but we can head that direction. I was thinking of the chorus this week, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, all I ask is to be like him. I was thinking about that chorus and I thought, what more could you ask for? I mean, that is like all I asked for. It's like your kid turned 16. All I'm asking for is a Mercedes-Benz. A brand new one, please. Or a Maserati. All I'm asking for is. Well, all I'm asking is to be like Jesus. Oy. But you know, the scripture promises us that's exactly what can happen in our lives, to become more and more like Jesus. As they say, aim for the moon, at least you'll might hit a street light. The nice thing about having the Lord as your inspiration, there's always something to work on. You're never done. You're better than you used to be. But oy, there's always some more to reach for. So what's rule number one in being an imitator of God? Live a life of love. Live a life. What does that mean? What does it mean to live a life? Is it just having oozy-goozy feelings? What does it mean to love? Well, he defines it for us. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. So love is giving of ourselves, reducing ourselves so that others can be blessed. We give of ourselves to others. Now, here's your assignment. Find joy in serving. There's two kinds of people in this world, those who avoid service for all their worth and those who find joy in doing. If you've ever studied the love languages, there is a love language called acts of service. And if you happen to be married to somebody whose love language is acts of service, they teach you what to say. You say, is there anything I can do, dear? What else can I do, dear? And so on. So when you learn to serve and you use it as love, what else can I do? You see, our natural bend a lot of times is, I have to do everything. I do everything around here. I'm waiting for so-and-so to wake up. I'm waiting for them to finally respond. I'm waiting for a little thank you or whatever. No. No. Be happy to serve. I'd be happy. And you can practice. I'd be happy to, dear. Repeat that after me. I'd be happy to, dear. Boy, you guys are bad at this. One more time. I'd be happy to, dear. Is there anything else I can do? Well, that'll change your life, I'll tell you. And your attitude may not start there, but it can get there. Be the person who enjoys serving. It's a lot of fun because there's a lot of service and a lot of people are happy to be served. And you can Find some joy in that. Count the cost of service as an offering to the Lord. But they didn't say thank you. Good. Good. Somebody else is taking note of that. You want an earthly reward, that's all you're going to get. But if you can get to a place where you're not speaking back to yourself, well, you guys, they didn't even appreciate it. When are they going to do something for me? You're losing. You're losing. You're not getting there yet. You're not Christ-like. Do you think Jesus walked along the road mumbling to himself about the knucklehead disciples that he's got following him? And couldn't God come up with any better quality follower than this? And, look at that guy. He's got a limp. Good for him. I'm going to make the, I don't like the way that guy looked at me. He was limping on one leg. Now he's going to limp on two from now on. You know, he had the power. He looked and he had compassion. He didn't have this little thing going on in his mind. Change your mind. Change the record there. And when you can't take it to Christ and say, Lord, this isn't working, isn't good, I need your way of thinking. I need your heart in this. I want to, what the pastor said on Sunday, I want to enjoy serving. I want to quit complaining about it. I want to quit feeling like I've been taken advantage of. I want to enjoy giving and serving in the name of the Lord. Christ's love was a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This really hit me this morning while I was reviewing the message that, there were many types of sacrifice in the Old Testament. They would slaughter a bull, they would slaughter a lamb, even birds. But they also had incense offerings to God. And they also would put grain on the Barbie. And so it would smell like fresh baked bread was baking or incense was being. It was a sweet smelling fragrance before the Father, even as the meat was roasting, it would be a great fragrance. And the fact that Jesus lived a life of love was a sweet-smelling fragrance in the nostrils of the Father. When you live a life of love, you're giving a sacrifice. When you're cranking and complaining and grumbling, guess what that smells like in God's nostrils? But when you're doing good and you're loving and you're going out of your way, I don't know if you've ever done something for somebody else. Maybe it cost you rather dearly, time-wise or whatever, and you went away feeling like $1 million. You're getting on to it. That's exactly what Jesus said. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And it is. Don't avoid ways to say, I bet they're going to ask me. Beat them to the punch. Go ahead and do over and above. And allow the Spirit of God to be a sweet-smelling fragrance. You'll smell it too. It will feel good, and it will smell good in the nostrils of the Lord. A sweet-smelling fragrance before the Lord. Fresh baked bread. They say when you're selling your house, it's a good idea, when you know the realtor is going to be bringing somebody through, to go ahead and bake some bread or some cookies before they come in. The fragrance could make all the difference in the world. The fragrance. You smell things, it brings back memories. It takes you to a different place. It can relax you. It can bring you to a good place. The very morning that I wrote this message, I remembered having hugged my wife before I left the house. And I took a deep breath, smelling the fragrance of her neck. And I took note that it calmed me down. It relaxed me before going out the door. Fragrances are a lot more powerful than we give them credit. And your fragrance before the Father, how do you smell to God? What do you smell like? If you live a life of love, if you've got a good heart when you do it, God is just smiling. He's saying to Michael and Gabriel, you smell that? Oh, wow, that is delicious. Have you noticed this? Have you noticed that? Just like he said, have you noticed my servant Job? I wonder if he ever said, have you noticed my servant Jane? Have you noticed my servant Tom? Have you noticed my servant here? Your kids ever do something that made you proud? You weren't expecting it out of them, but they showed up. They shared when you didn't expect them to share. They took care of rather than took advantage of. They did something very special. They tackled the opposing quarterback. Well, maybe not that, but that's my son. That's my daughter. They're taking their cues from the right place. When we act godly, we bless the Lord. Jesus says, yeah, it was worth it. Yeah, it's working now. They're taking their cues from me, from the example I set before them. You feel good when it feels like the kids are catching on. Maybe their teacher told you they've been an ideal student. They came home with a star on their forehead, or the teacher sent a note home and said, they're the best kid I got in class. And your buttons start to pop. You get a report back. They didn't join the others in bullying the student. In fact, they settled up alongside and befriended and defended them. Are you always complaining about everything you have to do? Everything you have to do for everybody else? Or do you look for ways to do more? You got to be a servant. There's a difference between serving and being a servant. Anybody can serve, and everybody has to serve at one point or another. There are folk who have a job, and they go to that job because they're getting paid, but for no other reason. And they don't like it. I walked in Walmart the other morning, and I walked to two Walmart employees standing there griping to one another about the working kid. And I thought to myself, wow, they're getting paid to gripe about the company. Isn't that wild? They're getting paid to stand here and gripe about the company. That's amazing. And I went to Arby's with my grandkids yesterday, and the young man that was at the window stuck his head out the window and he said, it was a pleasure to serve you, sir. Wow, I wonder how much they pay that kid. And, you know, that was pretty good. I'm sure that, you know, it was part of training and whatever else. But it was nice. It was nice. When you do something for somebody in your family, is it, here, that's what you asked for, now I like it. You know what I went through to get this for you? Thanks. Here. Is there anything else I can do while I'm up? I'd be happy to get it for you while I can. See a difference there? And let this be your training today. Is there anything else I can do? Happy to help. Now let me give you a few categories. Cooking. Laundry. Cleaning. Happy to help. Is there anything else I can do? God sees, God enjoys. As your attitude improves, your fragrance gets better. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Ouch. Ouch. You ever ridden a school bus? Oh, yeah, the school bus driver here, experienced one right up front. You ever been in middle school? You ever hung around truck drivers? You ever, hung around anybody? Let there be no hint of sexual immorality. No coarse joking. This is unfit for the people of God. Now, here's, I think, the key to it. Learning the difference between lust and love is very important. The world is lost in lust. That's what it's all about. They're pumping it 24/7 through the airwaves. Lust, 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 lust. Lust is a world apart from love. Love has nothing to do with lust. Lust is all about taking. Love is all about giving. What else can I do? It was a pleasure serving you. Lust likes to take, to use. Love gives and blesses. Live a life of love, but among you there must not be even the hint of immorality. Have you ever seen somebody jump up and run to help somebody because the other person is beautiful, or the other person is popular, or the other person is whatever? A moment ago they were as lazy as a sloth and wouldn't get up for anything, but so-and-so came in the room and all of a sudden they're attentive. All of a sudden they're as helpful as can be. Well, guess what they've got on their mind? Guess what is the driving force in their soul, in their spirit? Guess what they're going after? And God says, no, 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 no. Live a life of love. Not lust, but love. Change the record going on. Now, we're being programmed all the time. That's the way we are being driven. And so it's going to take an effort to stop being conformed to the way of this world and be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It's going to take a constant effort on our part and a lot of work, but it's worth it. You will at times naturally think in lustful terms, because that's the way the world is geared. That's the way we are born sinful. But when you get a stain, remove it. Remove it right away. Find out how to capture that thought, how to imprison it, how to destroy it, how to not keep walking in that pattern of thinking. Think of scripture that will counteract it. I have several friends in the ministry. They preach like I preach. They study like I study. They pray like I pray. But they could not handle temptation. There's a world of difference between what you see on the outside and what's going on the inside. It's true of all of us here today. The persona that we put forth, hopefully we're working on a good persona. That's a positive thing. But boy, we can really be dark and messed up in here. And I have several friends that could not handle that when the bad thoughts came, they didn't take them captive. They thought they could be two different people, one on the outside and one on the inside. And it's not so much that they lost their ministry. It's what it did to their families. I wouldn't want to be the guy to look my kids in the eye and say, well, I'm sorry. I got stupid for a while. I'm sorry for what I did to Mom. I'm sorry for what I did to you. Stand guard now so that doesn't happen then. When your mind gets soiled, clean it up. Repair the damage and remove the stains so that you don't go back there again. Regardless of who you are, how old you are, how mature you've become in Christ, there's a danger. And the world will hunt you down. We have an enemy who has been bringing people down for centuries. He's skilled. He's experienced. And if you think of some of the people he's brought down even in our lifetime, you say, oy vey, what chance do I have against the sly old fox? And he tailors, he designs temptation to each person. He and his imps take the time. How can I bring down Bob? How can I bring down Rick? How can I bring down Jamie? This would be a burr under their saddle. How can I stand against an enemy like that? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And our God's been around a lot longer than our enemy has. And as our enemy designs, God says grace is much greater. As sin abounds, grace is all the greater. And he will help me. You don't have to. Run to the cross and find your strength and find all that you need for resistance and for overcoming in our great God. No hint of sexual immorality, impurity, coarse joking. No hint. Every once in a while, you'll actually hear a dirty joke that's kind of funny. I mean, most of them aren't funny, they're just dirty. But every once in a while, you know what? That's actually funny. And it'll be a temptation not to pass it on. Well, guess who's testing you? It's not just the enemy, but it's your Lord. Do you care enough to say, no, I can't? It's unfit for God's holy people. We don't do that. We don't go there. We don't test those waters. We don't push that envelope. The church is to be a holy place. Your family is to be a holy place. We don't entertain those thoughts. We don't go that direction. We stay way clear of it. So how do I do it? This is going to surprise you. Not sensual, thankful. The Bible says, but rather thanksgiving. Not impure or immoral, but rather what does thanksgiving have to do with pornography? How does that? That seems like a weak antidote to all that the enemy is throwing at us. But it works. It's what God gave. Be thankful for what you have. But my wife doesn't. My husband doesn't. But my ba 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 ba. Be thankful. I don't even have a husband or a wife. Be thankful for what you have. You'll find that God is more than enough. You don't need what the world says you got to go after. God has given you everything you need for life and godliness. Do you believe the word of God or not? Well, no, he missed me on this point because I don't have a... Be imitators of God. Be thankful. We call it thankful because when you're full of thank, you're full. Oh, you're satisfied. When you begin to count your blessings, you become overwhelmed and you wonder, how in the world is God so good to me? But lust only makes you hungrier. Lust lacks. Thankful, lust lacks. And you will get leaner and hungrier the further you go down that path. You wonder, how can people become that perverted? Because the last perversion didn't satisfy, that's how. And so they just keep going and going on, and they're sure that any minute now they'll get to that land. No. Mick Jagger, the great philosopher, said, I can't get no satisfaction. Yeah? But no. Not that way. Not that way you can't. Lust is a hunger that isn't satisfied until you're destroyed. The devil will tempt you, see that you get caught, and then laugh in your face and in your God's face. Ha 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 ha! I brought another one down. He's not your pal. Oh, he acts like it when he's tempting you. I'm here to scratch that itch of yours. God doesn't care. Did God really say? Nah. And then he'll laugh in your face. Verse 5. For of this you can be sure. This is, wow. For of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. I would like to share that verse of scripture with every church meeting in America today. Of this you can be pretty sure. But this you can be certain. No immoral impurity. Wow. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Is that powerful? Let no one deceive you with empty words. Oh, no. Well, God's just love. He wouldn't judge anybody. No. He doesn't mind if people live this way or that way. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Our world majors in deception. Hey, win the lottery. Hey, play the casino. Online, pay off Falcon. I don't even remember that. It was on a commercial a while back. Guy's grilling on the grill. And the payoff Falcon just flies in and hands him money. Isn't that wonderful? Woohoo! It's actually a vulture. It's actually a vulture. Be thankful. Mark from Casting Crowns, he said that he built this really great playground for his kids in the backyard. Had all kind of bells and whistles, you know, slides and all this stuff going. It was the envy of the neighborhood. And then he had the neighborhood in for a party. And the adults were having a good time and the kids were playing. The kids ran out and they were like, wow, look at this. And they ran to this apparatus and into that one. They were having a tremendous time for about 5 minutes. And then after they had ridden every ride and slid down every slide and climbed every climb, he looked out and they were all standing at the fence looking at the dark woods beyond. Wow. What's out there in the dark woods? Hey, I dare you. Yeah. And it hit him. Isn't that us? The Father has done everything he can to prepare a playground for us, that we would be prosperous and blessed and filled. And we stand at the fence looking out into the dark woods, wondering what it might be like to run out there when he's posted warning signs and all the rest. Partner with those who have decided to stay pure. Partner with the Holy Spirit. You will find true, fulfilling happiness following the Lord. What, serving? Yes. Try it. You'll like it. Would you stand with me this morning?